Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We explore what a pioneering church looks like for us at St. James, with James Hiddell, a member of our church. The readings are taken from Isaiah 49, verses 16 to 21, and Acts 2, verses 37 to 47. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Okay, the first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 49 and beginning at verse 16. And in this passage, Isaiah is prophesying to the people of Israel who are in exile and longing for the restoration of Jerusalem. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. See your children gather and come to you. Surely, as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on as like a bride. Though you were ruined and made desolate, and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people, and those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement yet will say in your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. Then you will say in your heart, who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone. But these, where have they come from? This is the word of the Lord.
So the second reading is taken from Acts chapter 3, verses 37 to 47. And Peter has just told the crowd that Jesus, who they had just crucified, was actually their Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's just pray quickly before I get started. Lord God, would you use me, despite me, to make known to us this morning your great love for your whole world. Amen. My name's James. I'm part of the preaching team here. And this morning, I'm going to be looking at a pioneering church and what it might mean for us to be a pioneering church here, but also be part of a pioneering church in the wider world. Pioneering is a word that's been increasingly applied to the church in recent years with the development of pioneer ministry, which you may or may not have heard of. Sometimes with the church in this country, this involves the commissioning of a particular pioneer minister, or just a pioneer, sometimes they're called. But it's a hope of the Diocese of Bath and Wells here that all church communities can be pioneering in their ministry, whether or not they have a titled pioneer minister in their midst. The dictionary defines the word pioneering as involving new ideas or methods. The official definition of a pioneer in the Church of England is that they are people called by God who are the first to see and creatively respond to the Holy Spirit's initiative. They identify opportunities and gather others around them as they seek to establish new Christian communities within their local context. And the Diocese of Bath and Wells website states that pioneers are people who go to new places to live and tell the story of Jesus in creative and informal ways. But it's important that we don't just think of pioneering within the context of the church as something that's only done by a specially appointed individual. It's not simply about establishing entirely new church communities. It's simply about being church in today's world. But the world is constantly changing and evolving, and it's the church's mission to reach out to this ever-changing world. So it's inevitable that we must always be thinking about how to live out the gospel in a way that is relevant to the people outside of the church today. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean throwing tradition out the window. And sometimes being pioneering might involve rediscovering ancient traditions that have been forgotten. I think particularly of the resurgence in recent decades of the Celtic Christian movements centered around Iona and Lindisfarne. Pioneering isn't about breaking with tradition, though that may sometimes be what is required. Rather, it is a way of consciously thinking about doing church in a way that meets the needs of today's world. In short, it's simply about being reflective and thinking about how to do church properly. The 21st century presents a unique and dynamic landscape for Christian ministry, marked by rapid technological advancements, shifting cultural norms, and diverse expressions of spirituality. In this era of constant change and innovation, the church is called to adapt and respond to the evolving needs and realities of society, but also remain grounded in its timeless mission of proclaiming the gospel and embodying the love of Christ. The challenges and opportunities of the 21st century demand the spirit of creativity, flexibility, and openness to new ways of showing love and being church. Embracing innovation and exploring new avenues for ministry is not merely a matter of survival for the church. It's a faithful response to the call of Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations, adapting our methods while remaining steadfast in our mission. The call to innovation is not a departure from our foundational principles, but a faithful response to the dynamic needs and realities of the world around us. In the midst of societal upheaval and uncertainty, the church is called to be a beacon of hope, a source of comfort and healing, and a catalyst for positive change in the world. Excuse me. So what might that look like? I will briefly discuss some new ways in which church might be done in today's world. But first, I want to spend a bit of time on what church should look like in its most basic and deconstructed likeness by thinking about the characteristics of the New Testament church, in the hope that we'll get some principles that we can just recognize that church should be in any context. Jesus, in his teachings and ministry, exemplified a spirit of innovation and adaptation as he reached out to diverse communities. He challenged cultural norms and embraced unconventional methods to proclaim the kingdom of God. He called his followers to be salt and light, to engage with society in meaningful and transformative ways, and to embody the principles of love, justice, and compassion. And Acts shows us how the early church, inspired by the teachings and example of Jesus, embraced innovation as they sought to spread the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth. The book of Acts provides a vivid account of the early Christian community and the foundational principles that guided their life together. After Jesus' ascension, the disciples, empowered by the Holy Spirit, embarked on a journey of spreading the gospel message throughout the known world. And central to their mission was the establishment of vibrant Christian communities characterized by radical hospitality, mutual care, and shared resources. And it all began in Acts 2, in the reading we had this morning. The disciples were gathered together in the upper room, waiting in obedience to Jesus' command to remain in Jerusalem until they received the promised Holy Spirit. As they were gathered together, the Holy Spirit descended upon them with power, filling them with boldness and enabling them to speak in languages they had not previously known. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, addressed the crowd that had gathered in response to this crazy thing that was happening. He proclaimed the gospel message, boldly declaring Jesus as the Messiah, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. And in our reading that Jane shared with us, we see this proclamation pierced the hearts of the listeners, leading them to cry out, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter's response was quite clear, "Repent and be baptized." The response of the crowd to Peter's message is one of urgency and eagerness. Luke records that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Following their conversion and baptism, the new believers in Jerusalem exhibited distinctive characteristics that mark the life of the early Christian community. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They recognized the apostles' teaching as authoritative and essential for their spiritual growth and formation. They devoted themselves to fellowship. The early Christians shared life together, supporting one another in times of need and celebrating together in times of joy. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. While this likely includes the celebration of the Lord's Supper, it certainly also included the simple practice of sharing meals together as a symbol of unity and communion. And they devoted themselves to prayer. This underscores the vital role of prayer in the life of the church. The early Christians understood prayer as essential for communion with God. If we wanted to look at the Bible and get a foundational set of values to use as the foundation for what church should always be, the non-negotiables, this is pretty much it. Every other church tradition that evolved in the centuries that followed is secondary to these principles. And with these at heart, the early church was undoubtedly pioneering. The institution established by the disciples at Pentecost was a pioneering ministry that had never been done before. What they were doing, though, was simply the natural outworking of a faith that was at once rooted in a gracious, loving God and also reaching out to the world around them. They gathered in homes and public spaces, shared meals together, cared for the marginalized and vulnerable, and engaged with the wider community in acts of service and proclamation. And I think these simple yet profound characteristics are what should be the foundational principles of church in the 21st century, and indeed the 22nd, 23rd, and for as long as we're going for. In a world marked by shifting cultural norms and competing worldviews, we can remain grounded in biblical truth. In an age plagued by social isolation and fragmentation, the church can be a place where individuals find belonging, acceptance, and support. In a society where life is increasingly virtual and intangible, the practice of breaking bread, the celebration of the sacraments, can be tangible, visible signs that serve as essential expressions of life. And in a culture characterized by busyness and distraction, we must prioritize prayer, not as a religious duty, but as a vital expression of dependence on God and partnership in his redemptive work. In the 21st century, we are called to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and the early church, embracing innovation as a means of faithfully embodying the gospel message in a rapidly changing world. This may involve reimagining traditional forms of worship and ministry, using technology to reach new audiences, engaging with diverse communities in creative and meaningful ways, and fostering spaces of inclusion, belonging, and transformation. The early church drew its inspiration and guiding principles from the life and teachings of Jesus Christ, and that's who we need to look to for all things also. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, embodied a radical vision of love, compassion, and inclusivity that revolutionized the way his followers understood their relationship with God and with one another. Central to Jesus' message was the commandment to love one another as he had loved them. His love wasn't limited by social status, ethnicity, or religious affiliation, but extended to all, including the marginalized, the outcast, and the sinner. Jesus' ministry was marked by acts of compassion and healing as he reached out to the sick, the oppressed, and the brokenhearted, offering them hope, healing, and restoration. Jesus' message of love was accompanied by a radical vision of inclusivity and hospitality. He welcomed sinners and tax collectors, ate with outcasts and social pariahs, and challenged the religious elite to embrace a more expansive understanding of God's kingdom that transcended traditional boundaries and categories. And the early followers of Jesus, imbued with his spirit and guided by his teachings, sought to emulate his example in their own lives and communities. They gathered together in fellowship and prayer, shared their possessions and resources, and cared for one another with selfless love and generosity. Theirs was a vision of community characterized by unity, diversity, and mutual care, reflecting the transformative power of God's love at work within their midst. So I hope I've given a very brief picture of the most foundational principles of what church is and should be about. I now want to spend the rest of my time going over a few ideas of what new and informal ways of doing church God may lead us to. But it's important not to be limited by these ideas. Pioneering ministry by its very nature should be limitless and creative. These examples are just a little food for thought. Essentially, what we always need to be doing is simply being grounded in God and reaching out to the world. If we're truly doing those things prayerfully and considerately, the new ways in which we do church will come quite naturally. But these are some of the things that are being embraced in the world at the moment. Just a few ideas. Outdoor worship. In the pursuit of pioneering ministry in the 21st century, there is a growing recognition of the potential for outdoor worship to offer transformative and accessible expression of Christian community. There's emphasis on embracing the beauty of creation and the openness of outdoor spaces. We get a refreshing departure from traditional church settings, and it may offer a unique opportunity for connection with God and one another. It might be a powerful means of connecting with God's creation, cultivating a sense of awe and wonder, and fostering a deeper appreciation for the beauty and majesty of the natural world. Whether gathering in a local park, forest clearing, or beachfront, outdoor worship provides an opportunity to engage with God's presence in the midst of the natural environment. By gathering outdoors, we have the opportunity to bear witness to God's presence in the natural world, and to advocate for the protection and preservation of God's creation. In an age where people increasingly spend most of their time indoors, and yet the benefits of being outdoors and reconnecting with nature are well documented, and where there is an urgent need for the human race to understand our role in a global ecosystem, surely it's an obvious outworking of our faith that the church should be encouraging people to reconnect with creation and to meet God there. Digital communities. In the ever-evolving landscape of the 21st century, we do also need to explore innovative ways of fostering Christian community and connection through digital platforms. Here is a unique opportunity to extend the reach of the church beyond physical boundaries and engage with individuals in diverse settings. In an age where individuals are increasingly connected through social media, online forums, and digital networks, the church has the opportunity to use this stuff to cultivate meaningful relationships, provide spiritual support, and facilitate discipleship and fellowship. Digital communities also provide a platform for innovative forms of worship and ministry, where traditional boundaries of time and space are transcended. Whether through online worship services, virtual small groups, or digital discipleship courses, the church has the opportunity to creatively engage with individuals in ways that are relevant, accessible, and impactful. Digital communities also offer a means of reaching individuals who may or may not otherwise have access to traditional church settings, or who may be hesitant to get involved with an organized religion. But when meeting individuals where they are, online and in digital spaces, the church can extend the message of God's love and grace to new audiences and foster authentic connections. I think the lockdowns we experienced during the pandemic have convinced us that there's certainly a scope for building community on digital platforms. But I think it has also reminded us of the vitality of non-virtual connection. It's still very easy for a person to feel isolated in the digital age. And so it's important that we remain relevant to the needs of today's fractured society by gathering together and doing things in real life too. Service-orientated initiatives. These involve not only traditional forms of worship and community, but actively engaging with the pressing needs and challenges of the world around us, in our immediate midst, but perhaps also further afield. Rooted in the principles of love, justice, and compassion, these might provide a powerful means of mobilizing the church to make a tangible difference in the lives of individuals and communities. The call to service and social justice remains as urgent and relevant as ever. The church is called to be a voice for the voiceless, a champion for the marginalized, and a catalyst for positive change in our world. And this involves not only meeting immediate needs through acts of charity and compassion, but also addressing systematic injustices, working towards structural change and transformation. Service-orientated initiatives may take many forms, ranging from feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, to advocating for racial justice and environmental stewardship. They may involve partnerships with local organizations, collaborations with other faith communities, or grassroots efforts initiated by members of the church. Regardless of the form they take, these initiatives must be grounded in a commitment to love and solidarity with those who are most vulnerable and marginalized in society. As we engage in acts of service and social justice, we not only meet immediate needs, but also demonstrate the love and compassion of Christ in tangible and practical ways, inviting others to encounter the life-changing message of the gospel. Art, music, storytelling, and a general embracing of creativity offer unique avenues for connecting with the divine, expressing faith, and engaging with the sacred in meaningful and profound ways. Throughout history, the arts have played a central role in religious expression and worship, serving as a vehicle for conveying spiritual truths, inspiring devotion, and fostering connection with the divine. From the intricate mosaics of Byzantine churches to the soaring hymns of the Protestant Reformation, artistic expressions have enriched and enlivened the worship experience, inviting believers to encounter God in new and profound ways. In the 21st century, the possibilities for artistic expression in worship are immense, thanks to the advancements in technology, communication, and creative innovation. From visual art installations and multimedia presentations to experimental music and immersive experiences, artists and worship leaders have unprecedented opportunities to explore new forms of worship and spiritual expression that resonate with contemporary sensibilities. Artistic expressions can take many forms, ranging from traditional forms of sacred art and music to experiment more experimental things that push the boundaries of creativity and imagination. Through the arts, we have the opportunity to share our stories, express faith, and engage in dialogue with others, fostering a sense of connection, belonging, and shared identity. And eco-friendly initiatives. This century has seen an increasing focus on eco-friendly initiatives. These initiatives recognize the interconnectedness of all creation and seek to honor God's creation by adopting practices that are environmentally responsible, socially just, and economically sustainable. This might take various forms in church, including energy conservation measures within the building. But in a world where concern for the environment has become a standard, it would be hard for the church not to be relevant if we didn't prioritize the love of God's creation. It is perhaps important, though, to keep a Christian distinctive. But I don't think it's that hard to speak of the wonderful Creator as we advocate for his creation. This is just a taste of some of the ways in which the church can be pioneering. The possibilities are endless. And I'm very aware that lots of the things I've talked about there are quite big things, or things that are a natural outworking of people with specific skills. But it might not necessarily be what you as an individual feel that you are able to do. But the chances are there's someone around you who has skills that you don't have, and you can come alongside them, support them. But also, I think we just need to deconstruct the idea of church and what it is. It may be that just meeting up with someone who's in need for a coffee, if you're doing it prayerfully, if you're doing it in the spirit of God's love, then that's still church. Just because it's not happening on a Sunday morning, it doesn't mean it's not church. But creativity and thinking outside the box is fundamental to ensuring that the church is always relevant to the needs of the world in which it finds itself. Whilst always being faithful to the unchanging gospel of grace and the impact that has for us as individuals and communities. As societal values and priorities change, we the church, face the task of adapting our methods and approaches while remaining faithful to the unchanging truths of the gospel message. As cultural norms and modes of communication evolve, the church must be intentional about contextualizing the message of Jesus Christ in ways that resonate with the lived experiences and realities of people today. The church must be willing to adapt and innovate in response to changing cultural dynamics. But engaging with changing cultural context also presents opportunities for the church to bear witness to the transformative power of the gospel in the midst of cultural change that many will find quite scary. By embodying the values of the kingdom of God, love, justice, mercy, and compassion, the church can always offer a compelling alternative to the values of the surrounding culture and demonstrate the relevance of the gospel message in addressing the deepest longings and concerns of the human heart. We must remain rooted in the unchanging truths of the gospel message while being responsive and adaptive to the cultural realities of the world around us. By embracing cultural diversity, fostering dialogue and engagement with the wider community, and embodying the values of the kingdom of God in our words and actions, the church can be a beacon of hope and transformation in a rapidly changing, scary world. Pioneering ministry invites us to step out in faith, to embrace innovation, and to engage with the changing realities of our world in order to fulfill our great commission. We are called to remain grounded in the unchanging truths of the gospel as we adapt our methods and approaches to the cultural and technological realities of our world. And we are called to embody the values of the kingdom of God, love, justice, mercy, and compassion in all we do. In a moment, the worship team is going to come back up and we're going to sing a song called Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. And as we're doing this, let's just really be mindful of what I outlined as the principal characteristics of the church. I think sometimes when we look at all the new things going on, it can be a bit daunting. And what does that actually mean for me? But I just want to emphasise the fact that actually all we need to do is remain grounded in those principles, those very simple principles that just feel so natural, a natural outworking of our faith anyway. If we remain grounded in those and aware of the world around us, in our immediate vicinity and in the wider society, then I think a lot of the pioneering stuff will just come extremely naturally. So let's stand and sing together in response.
Website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.